Gardening tips on Basingstoke Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
Tuesday morning with me, Dave, on Basingstoke Radio Community Connections. On the telephone, I've got Claire, the garden editor. Good morning to you, Claire.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Thank you. Yourself?
Not too bad at all. It's lovely. It's been lovely weather, hasn't it, in this lovely spring weather. But we get four seasons in one day almost, don't we?
Well, yes. So, yeah, because last week was all right, wasn't it? It wasn't too bad towards the end of last week. And it started to go downhill sort of towards the end of Sunday onwards, really.
It does. And I think that is the thing to remember is even if the daytime temperatures are high, we're still getting frosts and frost pockets. So enjoy it while it's nice. But remember, it's still too early to be planting out a lot of things as much as you might be really tempted. So hold back if you need to.
Yeah, just hold back. Just a couple of weeks. That's all we want. A couple of weeks.
Not
Mind
long.
you, it could be
Not
worse.
long.
Could be in Tenerife. They've had snow, haven't they? Tenerife.
Oh, it's an, yeah,
They've had
yep,
a blizzard,
indeed.
haven't they?
Gosh, gosh,
Gutted.
that will
I'd
be
have
a
been
shock to the
gutted if I
system,
was
wouldn't it?
going out there for my Easter holidays.
Can you imagine? Gosh, you'd be turning back and coming back
Going
to
out
the
there with your
Plainstone.
shorts and t-shirts and finding there's a blizzard as you get out of the airport. Oh my
Oh,
God.
wow. Oh, wow. That will be suboptimal, wouldn't it? Well, let's cheer our readers along with
Okay then.
responding to their excellent questions. We've had loads, haven't we,
We
Dave?
have, haven't we, this week? Yeah, not bad, yeah. Okay,
Yeah, yeah.
you've got what, five or six?
I've got five or six. Yeah, I've got
It's even
some
better.
from who've come in directly to you and some
Yeah.
which have come in on the socials as well. So where should we start? Should we start with Liam
Yeah,
from
let's start with Liam.
Hatchwarren?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So Liam asks, I've got really thin alkaline soil over a lot of chalk. What are some colourful perennials that won't just shrivel up the moment we hit a dry spell in July? So Liam, thank you so much for your question. This really resonated because a lot of my garden is absolutely that thin alkaline soil over chalk. And if anyone has driven down to the M3 motor roundabout by Winchester and you see the piles of chalk, that is literally what a lot of our gardens are based on. It's pure, pure white chalk. So it proves a challenge for us to grow things on it, but there are lots. So, Liam, here's my hit list of what you can grow. Catmint, which is called Nepeta, really likes that dry, poor soil. Nigella or Love in a Mist is an annual, and you just literally don't even try and sow the seeds in a nice way. You literally take a packet of those seeds and you fling them on the ground. Mexican daisies, the Mexican fleabane, a lovely daisy-like flower, will scramble and self-seed around all that poor soil, will flower its socks off for months and months and months. That's called Erigerin carvinskianus, if you want the posh Latin term. The other things which do really well are verbenas, which are from South America, but they actually do really well in our poor soil. So Verbena bonariensis or Verbena bampton. Absolutely love that terribly dry, poor soil. Beautiful, deep purple colours. And also, don't forget lavender. For a lot of us, we can't grow lavender if you have big, thick, clayey soil and gets all boggy and wet in winter. But if you've got thin alkaline soil, it will grow. The one thing I would say, Liam, is these are drought-resistant plants, but it does mean when you plant them, first off, you do need to water them and get them established. You can't just plant and completely forget about them. So get them, get their roots down. So give them watering maybe twice a week while you're planting them. And then after that, they should be good for you. So I hope that helps. Any questions, let us know. But don't despair, you can grow things on that chalky, alkaline, thin soil that so many of us have.
Good question there.
Oh yeah, well the questions. I mean, I'm always amazed our listeners are so knowledgeable, they ask such great questions. So should we go for a complete opposite to Liam's question?
Yeah, okay, go
And
on,
should we
let's do
go,
that.
yeah. This one is from Old Basing, from Chloe. And she says, living so close to the river, my garden gets quite boggy in winter.
Oh yeah,
What are some
last thing you want,
structural
isn't it?
shrubs? Yeah. What structural shrubs love wet feet but can still handle the summer heat? And this is a reminder that our geography and our topography is so critical to our gardens. So if you're living close to river courses, you will get those winter surges. That's what the Winterbournes, you know, the place is called like St. Marybourne, Winterbourne. A bourne is a winter swollen stream which will dry up in the summer.
Well, I
And a
never
lot of
knew
our
that.
geography. Yes, indeed.
Oh,
There you
something
go.
else
So
I've learned. Every day's a school day with you, Claire, isn't it? Every day's a school. If I'm
always a
not
school day.
learning Latin, I'm learning something else about something else.
I should have warned you to bring your klaxon because there's probably quite a bit of Latin in this one, isn't there? Anyway,
Yeah.
so let's get back to Chloe and her wet plants around Old Basing around the river. So there's some really lovely plants you can go for that structural look. So the first one I'd say are the dogwoods. So these are the cornice, and these are the ones which have the bright red, vivid stems in winter, which looks incredibly structural, and they love winter wet. But then in the summer, they leaf up and have a nice green textured foliage, and they can cope with whatever's thrown at them. So if it doesn't matter if it dries out, because they can really soak up that winter wet very well for you. Very low maintenance, lovely structural look. The other ones which are really good are the elder. So the Sambucus nigra. And the great thing about the elder is you can make elderflower cordial. It is deciduous, so it looks it loses its leaves in winter, but when they come, they are dark and fine cut, and they look really, really funky. And it has bright pink little berries. They absolutely love the winter wet, and then they can cope with the summer. So the Sambucus nigra is the classic one. And don't blame me if you get drunk on your elderflower cordial or your elderflower champagne once you've made it. It's a great thing. And then the last one I'd give you is something called a Psychocarpus diabolo, which is like a snowball plant. And again, it's deciduous, but in the summer it has lovely, lovely purple leaves, and then big white pom-pom flowers all summer long. And again, it's one of these ones which can cope with these very, very difficult conditions of the drought in the winter and then the heat in the summer. So dogwoods, your elderflower cordial, and your psychocarpus. And I think between those three, you'll have something in flower or something of interest all year round. So Chloe, I hope that helps, and I hope you're not completely flooded down there in Old Basing, but they give you some food for thought for
There
what
you
to do.
go. Yeah, good. Some good advice there for you, Chloe. Who we got next on your list?
Oh, well, why don't we have a throwback to 2024 and Sluggageddon with this excellent
Oh,
question from
yeah.
Paul?
Okay.
Do you remember when we did the whole
Yeah, we did.
podcast
Yeah. Yeah.
about slugs? So Paul from Lichpit is again, we've had a very, very wet start to the year, and he says the slugs in this part of town are relentless this year. Are there any truly slug-proof decorative plants I can put in my front borders that don't involve using harsh chemicals? Well, first off, Paul, absolute kudos for you for not wanting to use harsh chemicals. While they might kill a slug, it will kill the wider food chain if you put down a slug killer. So that's the blackbirds or the other predators which would otherwise pick off those slugs. So thank you for looking after our precious planet. However, it is incredibly dispiriting, isn't it, when your favourite plants just get completely munched and you think that's just really expensive, unfair lettuce. So the key thing about slug-proof plants is you have to think about what the mouth of a slug is like. This sounds a bit grim, but you have to think about what won't that slug like to put in its mouth. And slugs do not like putting things in their mouths which are spiny. They do not like things which are spiky, which are hairy, or which are very, very smelly. So running through those ideas in terms, if you have something which is very hairy, like a geum, called a wood avens, they don't like that texture and they won't eat them. So geum totally tangerine, a very, very floriferous perennial, orange flowers for months and months and months of the year, slugs detest. Equally, if you were looking at things with a smell, things like salvias and lavenders and rosemary also aren't attractive to the slugs because those volatile oil compounds are just not tasty to them. So you can use that to your advantage. You can also go down the spiky route, so things like the hollies and the berberis and anything which is spiky or thorny or roses, they don't like because, again, imagine you're a slug. You don't really want to be eating thorns or prickles, do you? Then the other ones which kind of have killer compounds are things like foxgloves and geraniums and alliums. They all have very strong scents, even if we can't smell them ourselves, which really off-put the slugs. And then the last one is something which is just really hard and chewy for the poor little slug. So things like elephant ears and the begonias are a classic for front gardens, but again, very thick and leathery leaves, and the slugs just can't get their chops around them. So think a bit like a slug, Paul, if it's not too weird. And what is going to be really untasty? What you want to avoid is soft, tender, lettuce-like leaves, which just are basically their absolute pinnacle of achievement. So I hope that gives you some pointers, and we'll probably list out some of these in the socials. So if you want to listen back or have a look there, you can pick up a plant list that way.
There you go. You get more slugs, even more. We get rid of even more of them, can't we? In a nice way. In a nice
Indeed, in a
way.
nice way.
Yeah,
In a
in a
nice
nice
way.
way.
And as I say, for those who are super keen, we did a whole episode
Yeah.
all about the different ways of, what did we call it? Slug management, I think, in the end.
Yeah,
I
something like
can't even
that.
remember
Yeah. Oh, it was
what was our
good.
track. It was good, but I can't even remember what the track we chose was for
No, I
that
can't
one. But I'm
remember.
sure
No. I don't know.
it
I'm not sure.
Yeah, indeed. Right. Should we go to the social media? Should we go to the socials now? We've
Yeah,
got a
go
great
to your
question in
socials.
from,
Yeah.
from Amanda from Crondall
Hiya,
via
Amanda.
the medium of Facebook. And Amanda is asking about if she can do some propagation. Now, propagation is a very posh word for growing more plants for free. And Amanda is asking, can I propagate dahlia and delphiniums in water? And these are two different types of perennials. And she's trying, she says, I've tried in damp and gritty compost, but I lost all of them, probably due to too much humidity. And can I take propagations? Can I take bits from my dahlia tubers? So let's break this down, Amanda, into two sections. First of all, let's look at dahlias. So dahlias are plants which basically grow from things which look like potatoes, called tubers. And you either leave them in the ground or you pot them up. And at this time of year, you don't plant them out because, as I said, it's very frosty and cold overnight. And so if you've got them, you might find that because it's been so warm and sunny, they're putting out lots of leaves in the top. And that is great. But you still want to kind of keep them indoors until the temperatures overnight in particular far more sufficient and robust. So Amanda, you can absolutely take out that central stem on those dahlia tubers, and if you cut just below a node, that's the kind of the joiny bit where you've got those two leaves coming off, you snip off those leaves, you can pot that up into damp gritty compost. It might be that you've been over watering a bit, so don't waterlog them. Keep the compost damp but not sodden, if that makes sense. And then you will find that that will root fairly quickly at this time of year. And you can do the same for the delphiniums, but with a slightly different technique. That's where you take a bit of the growth above the ground level, but you take a little bit of the root as well. And that's because the root is rammed full of hormones, which are brilliant for getting new plants to grow. So you can try those two ways. I would say propagating in pure water isn't ideal because it means you get lots of very leggy, thin little rootlets. And then when you try and pot it up, they get very clumpy. And while it might look quite impressive, the root growth, it's not actually very robust roots. So we want to grow nice, strong roots because strong roots mean strong plants. So let us know how you get on with those two things, taking out the top bits of your dahlias and taking out the shoots and a little bit of the root of the delphiniums. And but good luck with it. It's great to hear people so interested in growing their own. It's a great way of saving money. So I hope that helps, Amanda.
Yeah, so some good advice there, Amanda, from Crondall. It's a bit posh,
Indeed,
isn't it, eh?
indeed.
Posh area, isn't it,
Yeah,
Crondall?
well,
You know what I mean?
we are all over the place, Dave. Your radio station is legendary, and you know your prowess
We're
knows
very
no bounds.
diverse. That's the word, diverse.
Indeed. Well,
Who?
you'll be at the Oscars next year.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Who's next on the list then?
Okay. So who's next on the list? So we've got Sarah from Popley, who
Hi,
is
Sarah.
asking another question. Sarah's question is a brilliant one. My garden is small and north facing, so it stays pretty damp and shady. Can you suggest some veggies or herbs that actually thrive without 8 hours of direct Hampshire sunshine? Well, if we look out the window now, I'm not sure who is seeing those 8 hours of direct
I was going to
Hampshire
say, is it
sunshine,
the same Hampshire that I live
but
in? I don't know about everyone else
indeed.
of it.
Yep, but it is true. So typically, most veggies and most herbs tend to grow in full sun, and that is because, particularly for things which have a lot of top growth, they depend on the sun to ripen them and change the chemical compounds and make things sweet or change the starches into sugars and things like that. However, there are lots of things you can grow in your conditions. So on a quick run through, you can grow things like kale. You can grow chard. Now you might be making all sorts of faces at the radio at this point, thinking they sound yucky. You can also grow rhubarb. You can grow potatoes. You can grow parsley. On the herb fronts, you can definitely grow parsley, which actually, if you grow it in full sun, doesn't do very well. It bolts, which is a technical term for just putting up flower spikes. So parsley, much better in your conditions. You can even grow mint, and I say this with caution because anyone who's grown mint knows it goes like the clappers. So it will grow in shade. I would still tend to grow it in a pot so you can control its spread. And the same for a very close relative, which is lemon verbena, which is kind of a lemon mint. Lovely in teas, great for cooking with, a really nice, tasty herb, but again, will cope with the shade conditions. You can also think a bit more laterally. So if you have like a bay laurel tree, they grow in north shady conditions, but perfect for, if you want to shove a bay leaf in your casseroles or things like that. So a lot of things will grow in those conditions. Just avoid anything which is likely to need direct sunshine to ripen it. And that's why I say rhubarb is such a good one, because if you think in the rhubarb triangle in Yorkshire, a lot of rhubarb is grown literally in the dark. So it will grow. It doesn't rely on the sunshine to form those lovely shoots that some of us like. I don't know if you're a fan, Dave, of the old rhubarb.
Well, funny you should say that. I did have a hot cross bun this week that was rhubarb and custard.
Oh, now that's going on the list. I must try that. Thank you very much for the tip. That sounds a brilliant one.
I'll tell you off
Love.
air where I got that from. Don't worry. All
Please do.
right.
Please do. Desperate to hear. Right. And then we've got one final question that I think we can just about squeeze in,
Go on then.
which is from Marcus from Brighton Hill.
Hello, Marcus.
Marcus is looking to start a no-dig patch in his allotment, but the grass is very stubborn. So Marcus is asking, should I put cardboard down now or wait until the weather warms up closer to April? Marcus, I would crack on. I would get that cardboard down now. I would get a load of compost on top of it and just pile it on. The weather will warm up closer to April, but the sooner you put down cardboard on top, the sooner you're going to stop that grass photosynthesizing and getting even more stubborn. So the idea with no dig is we don't dig the soil, we just plant. We put compost over cardboard and lay it on top, and then you plant directly through that, and that over time will kill all the grass underneath. So I would crack on if you can, Marcus. Quite often there's a problem sourcing enough cardboard, but that's where FreeCycle and local Facebook groups are great. And just get it on now, and then the soil will warm up as it does, but you'll lessen the virility of that grass underneath. So good luck with it. It's a lovely project to have.
There
And
you
I
go.
think that's all our questions,
That's
Dave.
right. Yeah. Hopefully that's given Marcus the information that he needs. And Chloe and Sarah and Liam and Paul and Amanda. I think I got
Yeah,
them all
thank
right.
you.
Look at that. That's not
You
bad.
have. 10
Carl,
out
look
of
at that.
10. 10 out
Memory,
of
I've got memory like an elephant.
It's wonderful. Maybe I can borrow it one day.
Okay, so we're going to speak to you in a couple of weeks' time. But before you go, what's your song for today?
Well, as you know, I
See,
always
I
think
do
of new
like I
songs a
do.
couple of days.
Yeah, I do
Sorry,
like
go
it when
ahead.
you give me your song list because I never know what it's going to be, and it's always a surprise.
It is. And this one, you might kind of just be scowling at the radio now because the song I've chosen is something about sunshine. And
All
again, we
right.
can all make faces. But it was the spring equinox last week. And
Yeah.
that means the days are getting longer and longer in the North Hemisphere. And we've passed that point where winter is properly behind us. We are now full fat into spring. And I think we should celebrate that even despite what the weather is doing right now. So my song is Here Comes the Sun by George Harrison or the Beatles,
The Beatles, that's right, yeah.
whichever
Yeah,
you want to take from that.
1969, I think it was, when we first
Oh,
came out. Look at
excellent elephant memory in
that.
operation.
There you go. Right, we'll speak to you in a couple of weeks then, Claire.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Radio.